Welcome back to episode 116 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. We lost the dead weights on the podcast with Martin and Ty, so it's just Luke and Eric here today.
Yeah.
Producer Luke and Eric. Ty is... Am I allowed to say where Ty is?
Well, we don't actually know where Ty is, but we're just assuming where Ty is.
Yeah, we're so assuming yes, Ty is with his girl. Or
it's not slander and malice if you believe it to be true about your friend.
This is true.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
So we believe Ty is with his girl. He no longer wants to join the podcast anymore because apparently he's finally.
Yeah, he said he blames it on softball, but there's no softball game tonight. I know that because I was part of his team on Monday, and I know that they didn't have a game for 2 weeks. And then he's missed the other times for plans with his friends. So it's not just softball's fault, Ty. We
let down the team, basically.
Yeah. And Martin not allowed. Martin's
allowed. He's been here consistently.
Yeah, he's probably the most consistent.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We did want to talk about Alfredson making the Hall of Fame with him since he's, you know.
He's always missed this conversation. I swear the last time we said
Time we're like, we're going to talk Hall of Fame stuff, he doesn't show up. So clearly he doesn't care that much.
No. And we'll have it next week.
That
too.
Alfredson did not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Hot take, bro. Hot take. Is that a hot take? I don't think it's a hot take, but.
No, it's not that much of a hot take. I mean, unless you're from Ottawa.
Yeah.
And we'll talk some Hall of Fame stuff, and then obviously have to focus on the Cup Finals since we weren't around last week. Just discuss that briefly, and then you know, Fiala was traded. We got some potential rumors to talk about. Yeah, so that's a good
Hockey Canada. Did you mention that?
Oh, and then Hockey Canada. Yeah, sponsors pulling out of agreements with Hockey Canada over the how many was it? Eight players.
Eight players. Yeah.
Eight players accused of sexual assault.
Harassment?
And sexual... I think it's assault.
It might be assault.
But it's settled out of court, so, you know, again, no slander or anything like that. Yeah, so that's going to be the episode. I guess, Luke, we'll start off with Lightning losing the Cup Final. I think all of us predicted, except for Martin... that Tampa was gonna win, I'm pretty sure.
I think I said Colorado.
Oh, I think okay. So you,
I think Ty and I both said Colorado, and you and Martin
Me and Martin said Tampa. Yeah, I think.
I said Colorado in six.
Yeah, you might have been exactly right,
but I forget. I don't remember. We have all of this stuff recorded, and I forget.
Yeah, I mean, classic. But I was right that Tampa would lose the first two games and then come back, which they did. And then
the man, they didn't just lose the first two games. They got outclassed the first two games.
That was probably one of the most, especially the second game. The second game was probably the most one-sided play of Stanley Cup final game I've ever seen.
It was crazy. I loved it. It was like 5-0
after two periods.
Yeah. 5-0 after two periods. And I didn't think it was good hockey because Tampa looked like garbage, but man, that was just a masterclass by Colorado.
The game was the most lopsided playoff game of the past 15 years.
Any playoff game?
Of any game, of any Cup final game.
Okay. Based on expected goals for versus
expected goals for. So Colorado had 87%. Of the expected goals for in that game. And then obviously, you know, Vasilevsky didn't have a good game, led in some bad goals.
The only other game I saw that was a comparison was the Pittsburgh-Nashville game where Pittsburgh scored 5 goals on 12 goals or 5 goals on 12 shots.
Yeah, I remember that. But that, again, wasn't like them. They like bad goaltending. That wasn't Pittsburgh utter domination in terms of like chances too.
Yeah, because Nashville only had like 20 shots in that game. It was like, it was just a very low event game from what I remember.
But they just let in I remember that playoffs really well, actually, because it kept swinging back and forth between Nashville and Pittsburgh. And Nashville looked like the better team for like most of those games. But Pittsburgh still pulled through. But anyways, the first two games, like Colorado was clearly beating them. Like first two games.
Yeah.
First game, Colorado had 62% of the expected goals. Right. So like, and it was obvious when watching too. Like it was obvious the first two games, Colorado was better, like way better. And then yeah. the next two games, Lightning finally found their game. It seemed like stepped up and won. They didn't dominate. I didn't think in any games against Colorado. I think they played well. But they didn't dominate in those games 3 and 4. And then games 5 and 6, again, Colorado kind of didn't dummy them, but they were clearly the better team.
Yeah. Even I'm not going to lie.
2-1 game like the in game 6. Like it was still yeah. the better team.
I'm not going to lie. I only watched the first two games, and the last four I was in California, so I was not watching. I was like kind of following on Twitter, but I didn't actually watch the replays. All I heard was Tampa was really whiny when losing.
Specifically this moment, and this is game 6, so the game that they lost. The yeah. last probably 20, 30 seconds of the game, Kucherov's stick breaks. And he
yeah.
skates off to the – did you see this on Twitter?
I did.
Because it got really popular on Twitter. Like, we saw – everyone saw it. Everyone could see it watching TV at the time. But Kucherov skates off. And then instead of going off to or getting a new – like, the equipment manager didn't have a stick ready for him.
Yeah. Right?
So he didn't hand it off to him. So Kucherov starts getting really mad. And there's 30 seconds left in this period and the game. Down by one goal.
Wasn't there, like, 13 seconds?
It was like 20 seconds left, like something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe a little bit less than that. You're right. But he skates off and then doesn't go off and he just starts throwing his gloves and like
yeah.
bitching and complaining. And you're like, Tampa has the puck. Like,
you have this yeah. chance. And then I saw Hedman was upset where there was no icing on the play, even though he like wasn't skating. I'm not going to lie though. As much as I watched that clip, I'm not justifying Kucherov here. It was baby-like, but that is an inexcusable play by the equipment manager. Yeah,
yeah. You got to be on that. Like last
20
seconds
that,
of a game, you got to have that stick ready. Like I fully agree. Dude screwed up. Might even get fired. I don't know. Some bad's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
But regardless, either get off the ice, let someone get on there to attack. Yeah. Or grab another player. Like, I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta
I agree. Do something. It wasn't a good look for Kucherov. Anyone that hated Kucherov before just is like one of those reasons to not like him
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate Kucherov. Like, I actually love Kucherov.
Yeah.
But even though he's, you know, he is, I get why people hate him because he does do a lot of that kind of stuff.
He
is a dirty player, generally speaking. So. Anyways,
it's a Kale McCarr wins.
Norris and
Conn Smythe. Oh yeah, the awards was that week too. Matthews came away with three awards: the Rocket, the Hart, and the Ted Lindsay. So
yeah,
people were saying he shouldn't win the Hart. I mean, all the players apparently disagree with you. So yeah. That.
I mean, it was obvious, right? Like
for Ted Lindsay.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Sorry for the Hart.
Ted
Lindsay, I definitely thought McDavid had a shot for sure. Like I think everyone knew that Ted Lindsay would be between Matthews and McDavid. For the Hart, I knew Matthews was getting that. There's no way Matthews was scoring 60 goals, and you know had just a dominant defensive season. Everything went right for him.
Yeah,
he wouldn't get it, and it didn't include the playoffs, right? If they had voted for those awards after the playoffs, McDavid would have 100%.
Do we know who the GM of the year was? Was there a GM of the year award this year? I don't remember hearing anything about it.
I don't remember hearing anything about it either.
Let me check. I'm going to Google it right now.
I don't even remember the nominees coming out. Do you remember?
There was no one assigned this year.
No, someone must have won.
Bro, I'm literally looking at it right now.
And nobody won GM of the year?
No. There's literally no one out for the year 2022. Like, I'm about to send it in the group chat.
The fuck?
Our last winner was back-to-back Lou Lamoriello. There's no one. I'm going to look 2022 right now. Oh. So this was the finalist, Julian Brisebois, Chris Drury, Joe Sakic. That was the final three. So New York. So as we said, three of the top, the final four teams, as always.
Of course. It's always this. It's never not going to be.
I don't know who won. It doesn't, I don't think there's been a winner yet.
Oh, it'll be a announced on July 7th.
Why though?
It'll on the draft. I don't know why, but it's dumb.
That's weird. I mean, Joe Sakic's going to win, but.
Yeah. I mean, most likely.
Or Chris Drury.
It's not going to be. I have a bad feeling Chris Drury is going to win, but because it's not voted after the finals, right? It's the conference finals.
Oh, true. But it's so predictable. It's always three of the last four teams.
It always is. But sorry, what was your point about the GM of the year?
I didn't. My point was Cale Makar, and then we talked about Matthews. But Cale Makar. So I think I asked a question at the group chat. Does this solidify Cale Makar as a Hockey Hall of Fame player already?
He'll make it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously, if he, like, retired tomorrow, he's not going to make it.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Just because he doesn't meet the minimum games.
Yeah. But, like, if he gets, you know, if he hits 800 games, which he's going to hit, right? Like, if he hits up 800 games, plus he's probably going to be point per game throughout that. He's probably got another Norris in him or two or three,
potentially. Isn't he only, like, 24 years old?
Yeah, he's 23. He has a Norris, he has a Conn Smythe, he has a cup. You know, Colorado can win an easy, like, he's they'll insane, have another man. 3-4 years.
Everyone was saying, get a Cale Makar, not a Nathan McKinnon, right? Like, everyone was saying, if you Makar want to get a
Cale. The difference maker in every series compared to McKinnon. Like, I didn't think McKinnon was especially dominant in any series. Like, but Makar was. Actually, you know, speaking of defensemen, like, Bowen Byram, man. Bowen Byram was probably was arguably just as good as Makar in the final round, in the final round of the cup. Like, he was amazing. Like, and I think I said this in the group chat. Like, Colorado will have Sam Girard, Devin Taves, Cale Makar, and Bowen Byram as their top four defensemen, and they will have all of them locked in for another, like, 4 or 5 years, basically.
Yeah.
That's going to be, like, you know, remember when Nashville had their, like, Yosi, Ellis, Ekholm, PK Subban kind of, Shea Weber, you know, when they made that trade? Like, that's going to be the better version of that.
Yeah.
Basically. Because I will take prime Makar over any of those guys. I will take prime Devin Taves above Ekholm, above, just outcome, actually.
Yeah.
And then obviously Bowen Byram at his peak could easily be, you know, close to, you know, a top 10 defenseman sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or a top 10 defenseman. Like, that's going to be an elite group. So Colorado's got it made. Bowen Byram had a unreal playoffs. He's going to get big money, I think, after this run.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to lock him down long term. But yeah, McCarr's for sure Hall of Fame.
So before we shift into our Hall of Fame conversation, are you happy with the Colorado Avalanche winning?
Yeah, I mean, they deserved it. I mean, I think I had said on the podcast already, I wanted Tampa to win. I wanted a three-peat, just, you know, for history purposes and, you know. But Colorado, if Tampa had lost to a team that was like a Montreal or a Dallas or someone that didn't really deserve to be there, like, hadn't built the right way, didn't really, like, you know, got a lot of luck to get there and all this stuff, I would be upset. But Colorado genuinely deserved to be there. They 100% are the best team in the league, even before the cup final. The only the only reason I gave for them potentially losing that series wasn't because they aren't the better team. It was because Kadri was out and I didn't know if he was going to be back or not. Yeah. And he was a difference maker in the games he played, for sure. And of course, you know, if their goal, I didn't know if their goaltending would hang around,
a decision maker.
Yeah. And Tampa's wasn't a decision maker. I think Vasilevsky was not out of this world amazing. And their goaltending was just meh/kind of bad.
Yeah. Well, they got sunk in that first and second game or whatever, the second game. Like, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, ignoring the first two games, Vasilevsky was actually quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, you get a 2-0 lead with Vasilevsky not being good, Tampa being flat, you're not going to very hard to win four games in a row against Colorado, right? Especially the way they built the team. They built the team right. They've made great trades. They've had great or pretty good drafting. I know Ty sent some images to the group chat of their bad drafting from like 2014 to 2017, which they have been bad drafters historically outside of the first round when they've grabbed guys like Rantanen, Landeskog, McKinnon, Bohm Byram now too. But they've made great trades. Sakic has done everything right over the last 3-4 years. They got all their players, generally speaking, on solid deals or steals. And there's no reason they can't keep contending, though they do have some cap issues coming up for sure in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. Kadri was a difference maker. Kemper was not a difference maker, but he was good when he needed to be, and bad, but also bad when he shouldn't have been bad. I think they're going to. I think they're a team that's going to win a lot.
Nishushkin had a coming out party, kind of. I mean, he's already been insane, but I think this is the playoffs where people like finally. Noticed him, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's going to make some big, big money now. Right? Yeah. Like him and McKinnon and like the top 3-4 guys. Like Nishushkin, Kadri, McKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen. Like that was their offense. Sorry?
You think Kadri's staying or is he going?
I don't think they're going to be able to keep him. Guy was point per game this year. He's great playoffs. There's going to be some, and he plays the exact type of game that a lot of playoff teams or potential playoff teams want.
Yeah. Although I hope he goes to St. Louis. That'd be funny.
Oh God.
I want him to go to St. Louis just for the drama.
No, thank you.
No, he's not going to go to St. Louis.
I want to see Kadri and Bozak reunited. So maybe I'd like that actually.
That's smart.
That'd be nice.
Okay. Hockey Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about it. And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. And now we'll get back into the show. The four people that were nominated from the NHL were the Sedin twins, Alfredson, and Luongo. There was also the Finnish woman. I forget her name right now off the top of my head. And Clemens? Who is the other person?
I think that sounds right.
He was the builder, I believe. Where is the?
I can't find it right here. But Alfredson. So out of those four, while you're finding this, right?
Yeah.
So the Sedin twins, obviously, were going to make it.
Herb Carnegie was the builder, and woman Carnegie. Star Rika Salinen, one of those.
Salinen.
It's Finnish, I don't know.
Oh, Salinen, probably then, or something.
Yeah. So, what were you saying?
So, I was just saying the Sedin twins were obvious. They were for sure going to make it. Like, I don't think anyone doubted that, right? Like, did you see anyone on Twitter saying the Sedin twins weren't going to make it?
Like, I honestly didn't even know who the potential inductees were.
Oh, so okay, well, I was following along with it. Luongo is an interesting one because I think who was it? Was it Ty that pointed out? Does he have a Vezina?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So that's an interesting one, but longevity is on his side.
Right? Longevity, and he's probably someone that should have had a Vezina or two.
It's probably just like every year there's just a goalie that was slightly better sort of thing. But
he had a lot of Hasek, right? Didn't he play with like Hasek and then were good? Because he had like years where his save percentage, like the 1 year he had 38 wins, 15 losses, a .928 save percentage, and a 2.11 goals against average.
And we have
that
to remember,
is a Vezina winning like year. Like who won Vezina 2011? It was probably Tim Thomas.
Yeah,
Tim Thomas. That was probably
Tim Thomas here with the Bruins just dominating. Like I'm sure, the thing is like especially with going off awards, right? You can have insane season after insane season after insane season, but if someone just has a slightly more insane season than you, you won't like. You know, we've seen tons of examples of that, right? Like where, sure, you know, Shesterkin having an insane year this year. Is probably the reason why someone like Frederik Andersen or XYZ goalie didn't win the Vezina, right?
Yeah.
So it's like we see it all the time. You know, Lundqvist, even on the opposite side of things, he did win Vezinas, but he never won a cup, even despite being elite through basically his entire career, carrying a franchise, deserves the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right? And Luongo is probably an example of a guy never, you know, he was on some bad teams too. Like he was with the Panthers for how long when they were not good? Right.
And Lundqvist actually only ever won one Vezina.
Yeah, there you go.
He didn't even win like
multiple Vezinas. And he was elite throughout his career. And he probably got shafted a few times too, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was a year he had 39 wins, 18. Oh, that was the year he won. Sorry.
It's far more impressive for a goalie to be consistent for 15 years than to have two or three insane years and win two Vezinas.
Like Ty said, he doesn't think Marc-Andre Fleury – Ty's hate for Marc-Andre Fleury is kind of insane sometimes. He says that Marc-Andre Fleury shouldn't win.
Him and Nick are just like complete opposites. Yeah. Just unbridled love and fucking
– unbridled hate. I think Fleury's a clear Hockey Hall of Fame goalie. Like 500 wins, Vezina, three cups, even though, yes, he rode the bench for two of them.
His career with, you know, the second most wins in the NHL, history or something. Like he's fourth right now?
Like, I don't even know.
He's high up there. I don't know. Like search it up if you can. But Fleury's in the top five for wins, and he's probably going to finish his career third. There you go. So he's probably who's second? What are the numbers of
Patrick Waugh? It's like 691 for Brodeur, and then 100, like, which is insane. Patrick Waugh at 551, Marc-Andre Fleury at 520, Roberto Luongo is at four.
There you go. So if Luongo made it, 100% Fleury is going to make it, even though Fleury was not as good a goalie, right? Fleury was definitely, unquestionably, not as good a goalie as Luongo. Fleury just happened to play it for a long time. How old is he right now? 37?
Probably older. Wait, let me see.
Maybe 38?
Oh, no, 37. You're right. Oh,
okay. Wow. Damn.
Right on the spot.
He's 37 years old. He's played on elite teams his entire career up until like basically when he had like one bad season and like, you know, whatever. You know, Pittsburgh was elite his entire career, more or less. And then he went to Vegas, who was also elite basically his entire career, partly because of him, and he was a great goalie, yada, yada, yada. But he definitely benefited more. If he was just off of skill alone and he didn't play till he was 38, 39, however, whenever he's going to retire, you know, he probably wouldn't make it. But if he's 20 wins or 30 wins behind number two. Like he plays one more season with a good team and he'll get there as a starting goalie. So he's going to end up second. He's going to make the Hall of Fame. Does he deserve it? Yeah, kind of, but also kind of not. Like you just put him on losing teams his entire career, he wouldn't have deserved it. Even if based off of solely his performance, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so we think Roberto Luongo should be in it. And then that will lead, obviously, to Marc-Andre Fleury. Daniel and Henrik Sedin. Do you agree or disagree?
I think... Is it controversial to say, like, I think they were overrated a little bit?
I don't think so.
Like, can we pull up their, like...
Yeah, Henrik... So I'm looking at... Yeah, I'm on their hockey DBs. Okay. Henrik Sedin, 1,070 points in 1,300 games.
Yeah.
So not even like what maybe a 0.8, maybe a 0.8.
Yeah, I mean, of course they played till they're old and you have to give them that. Like, I get that.
Not really. Like, they had a lot of seasons where they weren't point per game players, even when they were in their prime.
I agree.
And as the rookies, they really only had point per game seasons three times, if I'm looking at it. And then Daniel Sedin had 1040 points in 1306. So, I mean, like, they're both around the same point per game pace.
They're basically almost exactly the same for both.
Yeah. Daniel Sedin won the Art Ross and Ted Lindsay in 2011 and the King Clancy Memorial Trophy in 2018. And then Henrik Sedin won the Art Ross in 2010, as well as the Hart in 2010. And then the King Clancy twice in 16 and
18. See, like, that's if you just look at awards, that's almost like Jamie Benn getting into the Hall of Fame. You know, like he had one really great year where he won the Art Ross, and I think he won the Hart that year, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. Mm-hmm. But it's like the Sedin twins were amazing, They were super fun to watch. They were a great story. You know, twins playing together on the same line, on the same team, dragging a team to the cup final, losing the Bruins. But
yeah,
like driving a whole franchise in a city, quite frankly. Like that.
But is that enough?
Also, yeah, that's the thing, right?
Like, it's that's like, for me. Like,
they're not a Kane, a Malkin, or even if you want to go like a, like, or even really a Taves, mm-hmm. in a sense, you know? Like,
yeah.
So that's my thing. I'm just like that. So Vancouver fans are going to fucking light me on fire for this.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm kind of like on the fence with it, I think. Because, yes, so fun to watch. Great story. Great people, man. Like, they seem like awesome
mm-hmm.
dudes, you know? But is that Stanley, is that Hockey Hall of Fame worthy? You know, you can make the, I think you can generally make the argument either way. And I think Vancouver fans have to give me that. I don't think I have a hardline stance on either or.
Yeah.
But like, just on their performance, strictly ignore everything else about them, just as individual players, it's hard to say, you know, yeah, for sure, this guy's like a Hockey Hall of Fame guy.
Yeah. No, I agree. I genuinely don't think there are Hockey Hall of Fame players. I think they're close, but I mean, it's one of those things, and there's always a conversation. Do you want a big hall or a small hall?
Yeah.
I feel exactly. like I'm much more of a small hall kind of guy. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's almost a participation medal, you know, like, sure, they were good.
I think we have a tendency to do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's sketchy.
I agree. Cause like, and I think we're going to get flamed for this, like 100%. Like,
yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind people are listening.
It's okay. You don't read the EGMs anymore.
Hating at you. That's true. Actually, but I still get, they still pop up on my phone when I get them. So.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, like, we're going to get flamed for this. The thing is, I haven't seen anyone say anything about it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one tweet, one reporter, one analyst, when anyone come out and say, are the Sedins like,
yeah,
were they really like on pure talent or pure?
I've had a lot of people say that it's alone. A very classy class, you know, like it's all four of them are good people. They were fun to watch. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, but were they like Hall of Fame worthy?
That's a really great point. Cause Alfie, the Sedin twins, Luongo, based off of his Twitter presence alone. Should be
in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Yeah. If that Tony X guy's tweets are in the Hockey Hall of Fame, then definitely Strombone one should be.
There you go. Exactly. And I don't know. Like if you're going to have a small hall, you can't really make an argument for the Sedin twins or Alfie, for sure.
Yeah, let's get to Alfie.
You can't. But if you're like large hall, let all these people I love in that are awesome dudes that were still really great players. Don't like, and again, yeah. Alfie was still a top 20, top 15 player in his prime. Maybe, yeah, probably top 10 at some points. But yeah. He wasn't I don't think he was ever a top 5 player. I don't think he was ever consistent. He definitely wasn't ever consistently a top 5 player, maybe a couple years here and there.
2002 to 2008, he was averaging over a point per game, but that was with Heatley and Spezza. Mm-hmm. I think that was during their years. I'm looking at his IMDb, or not his IMDb, his Hockey DB right now. And he won the Calder. He won the King Clancy Memorial Trophy, which is leadership. And then mm-hmm. he also won the Mark Messier Leadership Award. So basically one for being a community, one for being a leader, one for actually playing hockey. Mm-hmm.
That's the rookie trophy, which really doesn't matter. Like, nobody considers a Calder trophy as a part of their Hockey Hall of Fame record.
You know? I mean, I think they do, but like,
not really.
Not much.
I mean, that's like 1%.
Yeah. You know? I don't know.
Nobody's going to say McKinnon deserves Hall of Fame because of his freaking.
Yeah. Based on a point per game status, he's more deserving than the Sedins. He's got 1,150
You're
points
right.
in like 1,250 games.
Individually, he was a better player than the Sedins.
So
I think
I think
at his peak, anyways.
Yeah, the case for him is probably bigger. I mean, he does seem like a nice guy, but again, are we putting in people that
didn't are we just have, putting in really good or yeah. great players, but not the elite. You know, generational, super elite guys? Not just yeah. generational, because there's only, you know, then you're adding like three people in every single
yeah. decade. And again, if you are only categorizing it off of awards, I think that is too narrow of a lens.
Because there's people that get ripped off, yeah. aka Lundqvist.
Yeah, right? Or Luongo. And I do think, you know, this is the dead puck era, and they were averaging a point per game, which you have to take into context too. So I don't really know. But like, again, all this is ridiculous if Alexander Mogilny is not in the Hockey Hall of Fame, who is better statistically than all four of these guys this year. Like, if he's not getting in this year, he's not getting in ever. I think that's where a lot of like the contention might be. But
yeah,
I don't know. Like, none of these, I think, are like generational.
Didn't get in that were clearly better players.
Yeah,
like clearly, you know, at least there's a lot of those guys out there that were clearly better players, maybe, but they're not fan favorites, or they're not guys that like were super nice and had great Twitters like Trombone over there, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, again, I think the argument gets lost when people start, because people don't first set a consistency with, are you a small hall or big hall guy? Because if you say big hall, then you have to say Mogilny and all these other guys get in. But if you're a small hall guy, you have to say basically, you know, none of those guys, maybe except Luongo, gets in.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I think people don't address that when arguing. They just go straight to, I can't believe you don't think the Sedin twins try to get in. Well, I'm like, you know, I'm a small hall guy. If I was a big hall guy, maybe, you know, Sedin twins kind of deserve
it. If I'm a big hall guy, they're definitely getting in.
Yeah, and I do think there, probably, but I still think there's like, other players that haven't gotten in yet that were better than them that have yeah, anyways. But yeah. I still think, like, if we're doing the big haul, Sedin twins should be there, because honestly, I love them and their great story and their twins and all this stuff. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's that. Kevin Fiala. I honestly don't know anything about Rika Celine Salonen,
yeah,
and Herb Carnegie. Yeah, so
maybe if we did research responsibly, we'd know. But yeah, my bad.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Fiala got traded.
Fiala did get traded today.
So Fiala was traded for the 19th to LA. For anyone, I mean, everyone's gonna know that's listening to this, but to LA for the 19th overall pick. And what's his name? Brock Faber, or Faber, who's a 2022 first round pick, from LA, basically. Fiala, point per game winger, really elite offensively, and still like not a complete liability the other way. 19th overall pick and Brock Faber. And by the way, I'm not big on Faber from the limited stuff I've seen and from what I've read from other, guys in the prospect realm that I typically trust. Mm-hmm. He depending on some of the models you look at, ignoring the scouts for a second, there's no potential really of him becoming a star. Based off of the stats and the points that the point totals that he's put up at lower levels. And in fact, like this model, Brian Bader's model, that's NHLE, has mm-hmm. Has him at a 26% chance of becoming an NHLer in the first place. And at the time when Brock Faber was drafted by LA, it was a surprise at the time, because they've done a really great job in the past. Or even in that draft too, actually, mm-hmm. of drafting players that have high star potential, you know, high likelihood to becoming NHL players, like that sort of thing, like according to various different models. But then mm-hmm. Brock Faber was kind of an outlier in that, in like them picking him so high in the first round, and still like what his stats were at the time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think he's more of a character, like shut. I mean, he definitely is more of a shutdown defenseman type of player, but I think he's like a character pick sort of thing where they really liked him, and you know, he's going to be the captain of University of Minnesota, like all that kind of stuff. So I think that's where GMs are seeing his value, sort of thing. You know, like kind of the old school way, or a more old school way of thinking, I guess. So, and a 19th overall pick is like nothing, you know, like for Fiala, like if you were to trade Fiala for a pick in the draft, you would want him to be from anywhere from like 4 to 8 in terms of actual value.
Yeah.
Or even higher than that, probably like 4 to 6 is probably where his value really is. Like if I were to trade a previously drafted prospect, like someone like Alexander Holtz from New Jersey, he like Holtz is actually somewhat close to good value for Fiala. A 19th overall pick and a guy that, you know, might make the NHL as a 5th-6th defenseman is nowhere close to good enough for Fiala, in my opinion.
So you think Minnesota got fleeced?
I think they got fleeced quite a bit. I mean, I get it. He didn't have a contract, but he was still an RFA, and any team could sign him long term. But clearly, they couldn't make the money work. And clearly, I don't know why. Because there's so many teams that could clearly benefit from having him, like New York. New Jersey. When like all the teams that were rumored to be interested in him should have been really. I would feel would be really interested in him, like Ottawa Senators. Like their first round pick should have been on the table for sure. New Jersey, like obviously not their second overall pick.
But yeah. One of it might have been contingent on the fact that he would sign there though, and he wasn't willing to sign.
Possibly, yeah, and that's definitely.
It's basically a no trade clause, like if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, but he's an RFA, so he would have to sign. It's just a question of what he would sign for. No, because they're still under control.
True.
Unless he's willing to literally just sit out the year, sort of thing.
Yeah,
or force a trade, play in Ottawa, which has happened. But like New Jersey, Ottawa, there's so many teams out there with good prospect pools. Even LA, man, like LA has a very good prospect pool. You know, like how did they not touch Kaliev or Turkett? You know, like I know obviously they're not going to get Byfield, second overall pick, but there are so many prospects. The Kings have the best top three prospect system in the NHL. Like I can't believe all they were able to get out of that pool is Brock Faber, who's probably like their 14th best prospect or something.
Yeah,
literally. Like I'm not like some rankings they have him as high as like 9, I think. Like I think Scott Wheeler, who is very old, much more old school with his rankings, had him at 9. So that's saying something. Like if he has him at 9, like I would have him much farther down. Like if the highest you have it is at 9, like that's not, you know, trading an elite winger for that is like kind of bullshit. But
yeah,
anyways, I think they got fleeced. Okay. Contract's good.
Yeah,
$7.875 million for 7 years. Good contract. It takes him to his 33, I think, so right at the end of his prime basically, which or right before his fall off, I should say. And it's good value. It's right about where I would expect that contract to be. So
Hockey Canada. So you might know more about the situation. All I've seen is that sponsors like Scotiabank, Bauer Hockey, I think have pulled out of supporting the World Juniors this summer. What have you seen?
So there's been a bunch of like people pulling out. So TELUS pulled out of sponsoring Hockey Canada. There was someone else, I believe. See if I can pull. Oh, and Scotiabank. And Scotiabank's a huge sponsors of Hockey Canada. In fact, to make things even worse, and again, freaking Katie Strang, man. Just so on point with everything when it comes to anything like bad going on in the NHL. Like she's so on point with like, great reporting by her athletic great hire. So the Scotiabank basically paused their sponsorship with Hockey Canada and said that the organization needs to take certain steps to, and this is quoted from an article that the CEO of Scotiabank wrote. I'm guessing he didn't write it all. He definitely had his PR team and blah, 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 blah. But whatever, you know, he put his name on it. Until Hockey Canada takes certain steps to improve the culture within the sport, both on and off the ice. And that was from their president slash CEO, Brian Porter.
Yeah.
And so the what's included in like pausing their sponsorship is canceling any Scotiabank marketing and events at upcoming World Junior Championships, all sponsorship investment planned for the World Juniors and other programs is also off the table. And then they're making a bunch of those donations instead to like the world, to the Canadian Women's Foundations and other charities like that, essentially.
Yeah.
So they're taking that money and they're not keeping it. They're saying, okay, we're going to give it to, you know, organizations that help people affected by your. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this? Because for me, I think of it as, I think sponsors pulling money is the most effective way to cause 100%. Change. But I think it's also the least moral way, because it's all it does is mean you're following the money, not the ethical morality the problem itself.
But you're not referring to Scotiabank, you're referring to Hockey Canada in that sense.
If Hockey Canada acts now, it looks bad luck on them, because they're only responding to the lack of sponsorship money than it is, not like the actual issue itself.
And that's the least surprising thing ever, right? The whole
But I think all companies do that. I don't want to say Hockey Canada is
It's not
unique,
even just companies. It's people, it's organizations, it's non-for-profits.
Yeah.
I think Hockey Canada is a non-for-profit, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe we want to look this up. But every organization is going to follow the money. Like, that's just the reality of it. Whether it's right or wrong, it's going to happen. And frankly, it is wrong, or at least somewhat.
They are a registered non-profit.
Yeah, there you go. So they're non-profit, but I guarantee their highest executives are making hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? Like, that's the reality. Like, every non-for-profit, they say they're non-for-profit, but that just means that someone's making bags somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So whoever's making the bags, making the bag, great for them, whatever. But you are right. Like, it looks so bad now if they're doing it because people are pulling sponsorships versus addressing it back when it either actually happened, which was years ago, or, you know, before sponsors started pulling out.
Mm-hmm.
They also said that Hockey Canada has to fully cooperate with the federal government's audit and ensure their sponsorship funding was used as intended. So they're basically saying, was the money we gave you used to what we expected it to be used for, not for settling lawsuits with?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's the intention behind the wording. And then in the letter, they also say the time for change is long overdue. We call on Hockey Canada to move with a sense of urgency in order to ensure that the game we love is held to the highest standards and can truly be hockey for all. So backtracking for a minute, Scotiabank definitely isn't like the most moral.
You shouldn't be going to them for your moral.
Like the fact that. And it's a little bit of virtue signaling from them, because they do a bunch of shitty stuff that, you know, we don't need to get into. Like, they're a bank. You know what I mean? Like, I worked for banks. I've seen what they do, and it's not all great. Actually, in fact, a lot of it's really bad. But besides the point, you know, regardless, it looks bad on Hockey Canada. They got to step up there, get their shit together. Like, and I like how they said improve the culture within the sport, both on and off the ice. Because ignoring what happens off the ice, there's still a whole bunch of issues that happen on the ice too. You know what I mean? Like, in locker rooms, on the ice, what coaches do, what players do to each other, all that kinds of stuff. And I think they're kind of mentioning that as well.
Yeah.
So
I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens. Rick Westhead, way to go. Everyone says on Twitter that he's trying to ruin the game of hockey. Man, you're fucked up if you think that. I'm just going to say that. I think it's good. I think it'll be a good change. And we'll see what comes of it. It'll be interesting to see what comes of it, who is at fault and who's not, or whatever the findings that they see. I'm sure these guys, these eight guys, are shivering in their boots every night with what could come out about it.
I mean, and if all sponsors pull out, you know, like that's the best way to enact change if you're an organization is to do it with money, right? You can say all you want to say or whatever, but until you actually pull money, and it's a little bit different when you're sponsoring, like, for example, you know, a lot of people talk about running ads against controversial people, right? So if I'm going to run an ad on Fox News, am I responsible for what Fox News says, sort of thing?
Yeah. Right?
Or, you know, like that type of that logic. So there is some of that going on in this situation as well, right? Like, if you keep your money there, does that mean you're supporting it? Does that mean you're not supporting it? And again, and then it gets into your whole point of where do you draw the line between what you're supporting, what you're not. Like, if I'm watching the World Juniors or watching Hockey Canada still, does that make me? No, I wouldn't say so, right? But then there's somewhere along the line where
everyone's line becomes, is different.
Exactly. So so again, we're not like virtue signaling here and saying like, you know, or anything like that, but there's like, everyone is going to have their own line in this sort of thing, right?
You can support a league and still hold the people in the league responsible.
Exactly. Yeah.
In my opinion.
You can. And I think it was a good example. I forget what I forget which chicken franchise has like some really Chick-fil-A. Shitty. Was it Chick-fil-A that has the really shitty owner?
They're anti-LGBTQ. Like,
yeah, there you go, right? So if I have a chicken sandwich from them, am I supporting them? Well, everyone in Canada freaking loves Chick-fil-A.
Bro, there's a lot of LGBTQ people that go to Chick-fil-A too.
I know. Actually, I know some of them.
Is a woman that is anti-abortion, anti-women, is a LGBTQ person that votes for Trump, anti-LGBTQ? Like, the way we frame things is ridiculous sometimes.
Exactly. So it's hard. Again, everyone has to have their own line with things. And yes, there is clearly a wrong, which is covering this stuff up or all that kinds of stuff. Clearly a wrong. But then, we can't like completely.
Everyone's line is different. Everyone's moral support is different.
If a company stays, supporting Hockey Canada, I don't think people can lose their shit over it. I get why companies should do it, but also Hockey Canada does still do a lot of great stuff outside, outside of this fucking shit show. Like, they do, sponsor a bunch of kids who can't afford hockey and all this other shit, right? Like, the money, so it's hard for anyone, it's hard for me to agree with, every organization should be pulling their money right now. Like, I don't feel like that's necessarily also the right answer.
Yeah.
Though I do like how Scotiabank and TELUS and whatever did pull their money.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a step in the right direction. So.
Yeah. But again, I don't think we can force everyone to pull their money.
Abide by the same rules? No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's fair for anyone necessarily, especially the people that the money benefits. Right.
Yeah.
That's my take. We're a little bit over time. We said it was going to be a 30-minute episode.
Yeah, it's fine. Turned into next week we have the – when's free agency this year?
July 7th. Oh, no, sorry. That's the draft. I think a couple days before that.
Let me check. When
NHL – oh, sorry, after.
July 13th.
13th, yeah.
Yeah, so are we going to – there's probably no need. Do we want – I guess we'll have a we lost our scout, Rachel Dory.
She's not going to be able to – I'll see if I can find
Will Scouching someone. Or whatever.
Yeah, I've asked him last year and he didn't answer me.
I thought he did it last year.
Oh, sorry. Not last year. Was it? I remember I DM'd him to come on an episode and he never responded to me. So I was kind of hurt.
Well, we need to get someone. So Scouting. Because I feel like after free agency will be done.
Yeah, and I don't know anything. I don't know enough about the draft to this draft. Do especially. Ourselves. Yeah. I mean, maybe Ty wants to bring on his scout, but
we'll see. We'll figure it out. We'll have an episode for you at some point about the draft. So, thank you everyone for listening. See you.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.